On today's Compassion Radio.
It really does capture what he really was going through, his ills that he was facing, and his death. And yet his hope was in Christ, and the victory, the death had no more sting. This is a powerful lyric.
Welcome aboard, friends, to the daily radio journal that takes you to the heart of ministry, whether on the front lines of Great Commission or at the beating heart of faith as it has become established around the world. If you've been with us for the past couple of days, I'm sure you've been inspired by the music and the life of our featured artist this month, Michael O'Brien. To know that there are still great artists out there that care deeply about communicating Christ from every pore of their being ought to bring us great encouragement and, frankly, a real kick in the pants. At a time when the world is less certain than ever about anything, we should be stepping right up with a real testimony of how a living faith transforms everything. Michael and I will tackle that and much more in today's broadcast. We'll start with a quick recap of our discussion on that wonderful standard hymn of the faith, Oh, How Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Here's an excerpt from Michael's Crown Hymn Project, available this month as you support Compassion Radio. I'll tell you how you can get a copy later in the broadcast.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise and to know, thus says the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him.
Michael, that's a song that's almost lullaby-ish in that its comfort and its accessibility. We sing it as children, and I remember singing that in Daily Vacation Bible School when I was 5 or 6 years old, and then singing it in sing-alongs and Sunday night at church. That's my generation, like yours. It's a powerful song, but something I want to bring to your attention that really moved me about that lyric for the first time in a long time. The lyric says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." It doesn't say, "'Tis so sweet it is to see what God did with my trust." In the waiting, before we even know how God's going to answer the prayer, before we even know what's going to come of the struggle that we're in, before we can even say, "It's done with, it's over, we survived," before all of that, when things are the roughest, is when this song says, "It is sweet to trust in Jesus." How is it impacting your life this year?
Well, I think I told you a little bit just how, you know, trusting Jesus in the midst of storms and trials. The lady who wrote this song, the lyrical content of this is a lady by the name of Louisa Stead. The story behind it is she and her husband and her boy went to a park in New York. There was a young boy out in the water and he was drowning. Mm. Louisa's husband ran out to save the boy. Yeah. And they both end up perishing. Shortly after that, she penned this song. I don't know, the story moved me so much. It was also a song that my wife had requested. But to be honest with you, sometimes when I do songs, I'm not even thinking about the lyrical content when I'm doing the musical aspect of it. So I had created this little piece and, you know, put the strings in it and everything. And then I realized all this stuff was attached to this song. Mm. And my wife said, "Michael, She lives with me, by the way. Just like Sandy knows all your stuff, Heidi knows all my stuff. She goes, Michael, it seems to me that you're having a really hard time trusting the Lord and embracing the sweet part of the 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And when she told me that, I knew it was true, which just made this song impact me even more.
Yeah.
And then I wanted each of my sons to be a part of this project. Mikey had sung with me on my last CD on a song called Lord, I Need You, that which was pretty popular back 5 years ago. Matt Mayer, I believe, is the one who recorded it, but we just did our own version of it. I just loved his voice, and I just wanted to be able to sing something. That's the voice you'll hear. The interesting thing about all my boys, they all kind of have the same timbre as each other. And sometimes it's like, who's harmonizing? Who's actually singing? And it ended up being one of my favorite songs on the record, but I'm probably going to say that about five different times.
Of course.
You know, that's just the way it is when you're interviewed like this. But I knew the song, but it's so much sweeter now than it was, you know, 5 years ago.
And the story resonates with you as a dad. I mean, what if you had been the one to lay down your life for someone else's child?
Yeah.
And end up in, quote, failure?
Yeah.
How tough would that last moment of your last breath be when you realize that this has cost you everything? What would the legacy be behind that if our families lost us for something so senseless in their minds or hearts as someone else's child?
Yeah.
There's nothing fair about these things happening. Of course, around the world today, we know of people that are dying of COVID virus that should not have to have been there or have ever caught them or never knew how they got it.
Mm-hmm.
People we know. And there are other ministries that are friends of ours that have almost lost people in their staff and their board of directors that can't for the life of them figure out how in the world they got infected in the first place. But it is not rational. It's not reasonable. And yet, something about the peace of God that passes every reasonable explanation floods our hearts and minds. I imagine you probably saw yourself on the shore of that lake while you're singing that song. What would I do in that moment?
Well, I think it's certainly any question that anybody would want to answer in a positive way. And not like, you know, you'd hope you'd do something that was faithful and true and good and right. And, you know, if you saw somebody whose life was on the line, that you would jump in. And I would hope to, like, I've seen war movies in the past years, and I've tried to put myself in those situations. My wife could never watch them, but I watch them because it helps me to really be thankful for the freedoms that I have and the sacrifices that were made by other men and women. And so I would hope, Graham, that I wouldn't count my life more important than somebody who was suffering and needed my help. You think about the story of the Good Samaritan. We only really think about the three people in that story, but actually there was four people in that story.
Were.
We don't ever really think about that we could be the one needy on the side of the road in need of help.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting way to think about that. I pray and hope that because of the things that I've learned, that I would be a man that would lay my life down.
Yeah. And then as parents, we can think about how tragic it might be to have to lay down our lives for our family. But what if God calls us to lay down the lives of our children?
Well, that's not fair, Bram. I'm not prepared to answer that question.
I know.
I mean, I will tell you this, though none go with me, I still will follow. Even if my kids didn't follow Christ, it would break my heart. I want each one of them to know who Christ is and walk with him.
Yeah.
But Jesus himself said, I came to turn a father against a son, a mother against a daughter. It's hard for us to see that side of Jesus because I think a lot of times everybody wants to think that Jesus is just this nice guy. He was very confrontational, and he was the Son of God. He wasn't a nice guy. He was on a mission. And so he offended people. He offended the religious with some of his tactics and some
friend,
of the
I still
said.
See hope in that statement, though, when Jesus says, I came to turn a father against a son. For me, it's looking at the lost as a whole and saying, they're all lost. At least I could save some.
Well, now that's true. You got to add also, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword.
Yep.
So, I mean, a lot of times people are just wanting to talk about peace, peace, peace. And I love the peace of God. Yep. But the Bible says you're going to be persecuted for your faith, for what you believe in. So you're going to take some hard stands. As long as you do it in love and in gentleness and truth, you may even offend your own family.
I think that's true. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
But the hope is that every one of our loved ones will know him and want to follow him and be, you know, a believer in Christ. That's what our hope is for our kids. I think that's probably what your hope is.
Yeah. It is.
For your own kids as well.
There's a remarkable interview that Norm did years ago with Ronald Boyd McMillan. He's been active in some of the most intractable conflicts around the world, bringing the gospel out there. And he said, he told us to be at peace with our enemies. He never said to never make any.
True.
And there's something to be said about the way you live is going to be provocative. And if it's not provocative in the sense that it reflects the true and total holiness that God is calling his people to be, and it's not challenging the world around us, it's not a contrast, then what do we expect when the world doesn't care about the gospel we say we're preaching? I believe that the contrast that God wants us to live with is not one that is intentionally provocative and offensive, because we don't want to be offensive to anybody intentionally. But there's something about following Christ that will rile up the evil in the world in such a way that provokes men against him again. And we have to live with that reality that there will be consequence for us living a holy life. There just will. And this is not about living a legalistic life where we look down upon or lord it over others because they're not as pure as us. It is exactly the opposite. It is simply the humble life lived in such a way that it's inescapable that God's power is within us. That is going to offend. I've seen that happen in families. I've seen that happen even in churches. When people come alive in Christ and things start changing in their lives, suddenly the church itself is upset.
Right. I'd say also, just to piggyback on that, we know that Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." But there's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper.
True.
Peacekeeper is, hey, this is not ruffle anybody's feathers. Yeah. And I come from a family very similar to that. It's like, hey, let's just not talk about it. To make peace, it's an action.
Yeah.
And I will also say that G.K. Chesterton, probably one of my favorite quotes he ever had, was, "Tolerance is a virtue to a man without conviction." Yeah. If you don't speak up and say some of the hard things in love,
yeah,
you're going to probably have more friends than you probably even want. But when you start speaking up, I've learned at least, and there is proper form, and I've made some mistakes along the way, and I understand that. But truth is always on trial these days.
Yeah.
And the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's offensive. I mean, all you have to even say these days is you're a Christian, and, you know, bigots and haters comes along with that term. So for us to be peacemakers, we're going to have to speak up, and probably more than we are at this point. And that's why the persecution comes, because it's right after all these blessings. He also talks about blessed are the persecuted. So
yes,
it's a catch-22 in one sense. I just pray that I would be faithful in the moments when given the opportunity to speak truth. Can I do it in a gentle way, in a loving way? It may still offend, but then at least I've done my part.
Yeah. I want to live that balanced life too, but even at times when life seems very unbalanced. I think it's what it means when they talk about a peace that passes understanding. Things do not, in the circumstance, look like there's any reasonable way to be confident, to be calm, to be assured, to be hopeful. When all the circumstances speak exactly the opposite, the one who is grounded on Christ, planted deeply in his word, are able to respond to things from that reality, that truth that transcends, and are able to act in a way that is transcendent. Even when the rest of the world is screaming and going crazy, they can still be godly rational.
Sure.
Even though the world looks at that and says, that's completely irrational, you're crazy for doing that. I do believe that these days, Michael, are calling for us to live that way, to live with a kind of quiet confidence and intentionality. But it ain't going to happen unless we're really in the Word, like you said earlier in our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't know his Word, we haven't read it in a while, and we're bowing to the circumstances to keep us from knowing his Word or being with him in worship, then we are committing spiritual suicide and basically inviting the devil in to pour all kinds of stuff on us for his benefit, for his agenda, and not for God's plan and hope for us.
Mm.
"Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus" was a song we were just talking about, and to think about that song being provocative is something new for me. But you're right that when we say things that are peaceful to people who don't want to know peace and want to war it out and just get out all their frustrations and bring their anxieties to violence and just be done with it because they're so tired of the pressures they feel.
Sure.
That seems like a reasonable answer when you're under stress all the time, is just get it out. And yet the Word of God would say, no, there's a better way, and God can bring peace right now. I'm going to live like that even if you don't understand it. Those are fighting words.
Yeah.
We'll be back for more of my conversation with Michael O'Brien in just a moment. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please, take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Here's how.
just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now for more of my discussion with Michael O'Brien. What's another song we can focus in on that has moved you so much in preparing this project?
Well, probably Beauty of It All.
When I contemplate your genius, it just draws me to my knees. But oh, the beauty of it all is that I know you hear me every time I call. And even if I had 1,000 years to spare, I could never comprehend your complexities of love. But then, that's the beauty of it all. Though you cause the sun to rise and night to fall, still you care about the heart of one so small. Beauty of it all, the colors in everything I see can take my breath away from the deeper sky.
Michael, I've known your sound and your family's music for a lot of years, but I got to be honest, I had a really hard time figuring out whether that was the daughter or the wife of Michael O'Brien when I heard that song.
Yeah, that was my daughter.
Awesome.
Yeah, she went to Liberty University to learn how to sing properly. And if you get to the end of that song, you'll hear my daughter singing some crazy notes and singing some opera. And that was, here we go again with ideas. My wife sitting in a room with me going, I have this great idea. What you need to do. And, you know, when she says these ideas, it's like it's thrown my way. And I know now I've got to make this happen. Hmm. I just didn't know how to even begin to start. I wrote this song with Reggie Hamm back in 1992, the year that my daughter was born. Hmm. And I never recorded it for some strange reason.
Wow.
Just never wanted to try to figure out how I could make it sound. It was just like the Lord was saying, no, not yet, not yet. And for 28 years, I never recorded it. And then my wife brings it up, says I need to do it. And we record it. Out of all the songs that Megan and I have sung, this is definitely my favorite one. Mm. The lyrical content of this, I can't even take credit for it. I think the only idea I had was calling it The Beauty of It All. And that's certainly not original. But Reggie penned this. We were both waiters in a restaurant at the Cooker in Nashville. I told you that I'd signed the Metagreen publishing deal, and this was one of the very first songs that I even gave to them to listen to see if they would even take me as a writer. All that to say, I love the lyric of this song. It just talks about the beauty of how big God is, and I'm so small, and yet he still cares for me. And it's just such a grand thought and idea. And I believe that the lyric really pulls that in. And then, you know, musically speaking, I think it's one of my more beautiful melodies that I've written over the years. And just so grateful that we were able to pull this off and be able to do it in a way that I felt like was beautiful. And it kind of kept with the lyric as well, the magnificence of it all, the glory of it all.
And just one more of the beautiful cuts on this album. You've done some contemporary things, and even though this sounds very traditionally epic in its scope and the lyricalness of the presentation, it's really a power song. There's an emotional power there that gives room for you and your daughter both to soar that is missing in most contemporary music these days.
Yeah, you're certainly not going to hear it on the radio. Probably not, except your station.
Fair enough. My heart, of course, is to see the arts expand again. It is something that is lofty, that has aspiration, that encourages people, and that the church grows in their expectation of what God can do in their hearts and lives because they heard it expressed emotionally in great music and art. And you've done a great job with that. I'm so glad you're able to have Megan back on the album with you for that one.
Me too. Just a special moment.
Yeah. Let's move on to some more songs that are highlighted on the Crown Hymn Project, which is our Compassion Radio's special offer to our listening and supporting audience. In fact, we have even a download available on the website that I just basically made for free, or any gift you want to put into that. And I'll just mention that one now because they've been hearing it a number of times on the program already. But that's the Were You There hymn.
Oh, yeah.
It's a famous old hymn. And we usually sing it in such a way where it's in block chords and four-measure phrases, and we just sing the same intensity from soup to nuts. Beginning of the song, the end of the song, we just sing the same organ pattern. But we know that the story itself evolves from despair to great over-the-top exuberance emotionally. And you do a fine job with the song, and we've highlighted that a number of times. I won't bring it up right now, but I want to remind our friends that that song is available for free download on the website. So go there right now and do that. What else is on the album that we haven't highlighted yet?
Well, there's a song that I sang with my son Joseph, the America's Got Talent guy, called Abide With Me. Mm. This is a song that was written by Henry Light. Mm. He was an orphan at the age of 9, was taken into a family, ended up going to a particular college, and he had a lot of unfortunate health issues in his life. The story goes that he was near the end of his life, but he was a preacher. He wanted to preach one last time. And so he was very weak, could barely walk. The whole time the congregation was worried about him, but he preached on communion. And then shortly after that, went outside and penned Abide With Me. Mm. And then shortly after that, he passed away. Some guy by the name of Richard Monk put music to it, and it is what we know today. I ended up adding a chorus to it. Mm-hmm. I certainly hope when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be like looked at as what you do myself.
We were purists.
I just felt like a chorus of abide with me, oh, abide with me would just be, you know, welcome.
Yeah. And it's not plaintive. Everything about that seems to be uplifting and lofty. Just the idea of his presence with us, abide with me. What an invitation that is. I mean, when you really think of what you're asking God to do, you're saying, come live with me. Come eat my dinner. Sit with me in the evening. Let's read a book together. Sit by my fire and be warmed. There's something about the abide, which is to wait and not just run out.
Mm.
There's expectation of time and investment and quietude, even if necessary, and conversations that might start and stop, but a sense of presence and welcome.
Yeah, I think that third verse, too, that I ended up, I'm so sorry to Henry that I didn't actually do the study of this song until after I'd recorded it.
Mm.
The fourth verse says, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Mm. Where's death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. And if I had known, sometimes I look at lyrics and I go, okay, I like this. That's five stanzas. I really think three is good because I'm adding a chorus and a bridge, and I would not have left that one out. Yeah. And so now I've just decided that every time I get interviewed, I'm going to throw that verse in there because it deserves it.
Yeah.
Because it really does capture what he really was going through, his ills that he was facing and his death. And yet his hope was in Christ, and the victory, the death had no more sting. This is a powerful lyric. To have my son Joseph sing with me, he sung on probably the last four projects that I've done as well. He's the one who did all the harmonies. He chose the harmonies he wanted to do. He arranged it. And actually, the sad part about it, well, it's not really sad. I'm proud of him. I sent him a version of this song, and he's like, Dad, I sent you another version with my chords. And okay, now this is a kid who's only been playing for, you know, 7-8 years on a keyboard, and his arrangement and his chord structure was better than mine. I ended up going his way.
It's hard when you have to deconstruct what you thought was best, but then you realize that God has not just bettered you, he's amplified
it's called
you.
Humility, Bram. Yeah. I'm learning about it every day.
Yeah, it's good to have kids that are that brave with you. Obviously, your kids and your wife are abiding with you in the call to ministry. So that when you're actually physically present with each other, you do ministry together because you know that what's going to flow out of your singing around the kitchen table is going to end up in somebody's ears halfway across the planet someday.
Mm.
So it better be worthy.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Wow, what a weighty thought to think that through sound waves, which once again just challenges me to make sure that everything that I do is well thought out, well prayed over, and is connected to what the Word teaches and is not some random thought that would do damage, but hopefully that would bring healing and comfort.
Yeah. We're talking with Michael O'Brien about his Crown Hymn project, which we've been highlighting on Compassion Radio. We're asking him about the meanings to him for the songs that were chosen and how God brought these to be part of the project. Our thanks again to Michael O'Brien. There are many more great stories about the songs, the artistic process, and the inside scoop on how major music projects come to be. It's all fascinating, and I hope you'll tune in for the final two segments of this important and encouraging interview. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. We need you, and we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. When you call or write us today with your tax-free gift, make sure to ask for Michael O'Brien's brand new music project, Crown Him, available on CD or for digital download. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.